And we have been talking, as we've been looking at 2 Kings chapter 2, about the life of Elisha and Elisha's miracles. And as we see, as we open to 2 Kings chapter 2, we see Elisha purifying the bitter waters. And at last week, as I finished off, I said, I'm going to get there in just a second. We looked at God being holy, how sin affects the world, and a purified new world last week is what we looked at. And I ended off by saying that we need to be an agent of change. And I said, as an agent of change, we could be either a thermometer or a thermostat. And a thermometer will tell you the temperature, but a thermostat is something that changes the temperature. And a malfunctioning thermostat is not a very good thing. I was thinking about that this week because I was thinking about Vacation Bible School. And last year, during Vacation Bible School, I had a terrible, terrible tragedy happen in my family. I've talked before, my favorite pet is a fish, okay? I love them. I can feed them 3 times a day. I can watch them and they calm me down. They don't eat my furniture. I've had the same fish tank. My wife, when we were dating, bought me a fish tank, and I've had the same one for all this time, and I've had these fish. And I had a pretty good fish tank going. I loved the fish that were in there. They were amazing. But we came home from Vacation Bible School last year, and something terrible happened. The thermostat broke on the fish tank, and so the heat never turned off. And so I came home to fish tank water that was about 140 degrees. And all of my fish were belly up. What a terrible, terrible thing. And so you can see the importance of a thermostat. You know, I saw today somebody going around and changing the temperature on the air conditioners. Changing the thermostat. You know, a thermometer is great. We want to see the temperature when we come in. But to have the comfort level in here, we need to have a thermostat. Sometimes you need the heat to be turned up. And sometimes, in our Christian lives, we need the heat to be turned up, right? Sometimes you need the heat to be turned down and kind of a gentler touch. And so in our lives, we need to be something that is an agent of change. And we see here that Elisha was used by our Lord and Savior to be an agent of change. We've read this passage a couple of things, and I got 3 points I'd like to make quickly about 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. It says, "Then the men of the city said to Elisha," please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, "but the water is bad and the ground barren. He said, bring me a new bowl. Put salt in it." And so they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him, and said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them, pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and 2 female bears came out of the woods and mauled the 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. So as we look at this, I kind of want to begin focusing on what Elisha did as an agent of change, how he changed this situation, took the bitter water and made it able to be for the people to drink. The first thing that we see in verse 20 is he says, "Bring a new bowl." If you want to be an agent of change, you want to affect the world around you, be more than a thermometer, being able to tell what's hot and what's cold, but to be able to change the situation, the first thing I think that we need to do is we need to be clean. says here, bring me a new bull. If you are going to affect your world for Jesus Christ, you have to have new life in Him yourself. And be clean and pure. I put down here a holy believer living a new and righteous life in Jesus Christ, who is in the process of sanctification, putting off the old man and becoming the new man in Christ. A person living that kind of life in the hand of our Lord is a great tool for change. I have a couple of verses that say we ought to be clean, and that we find them in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read a couple of verses there. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy.'" And over in verses 22 and 23, it says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So as I read that passage, if we are going to be someone like Elisha, who is going to make a change in the world around us, and in the lives of the people, our neighbors and the people next door, the first thing is that we need to be a new vessel for Christ. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Living a new life, being clean and pure. I'd like us also to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. One of the most difficult areas for some people to live a pure and clean life is in the area of sexual immorality. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." You notice that, as I say, we're looking for a clean vessel, a new bull, someone living a new life in Christ. This doesn't have just to do with what your past was like, but it has to do with where you are right now in your relationship with the Lord. I love verse 11. "And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Jesus Christ has the power and has paid the price to forgive anyone of their sins. And new life can be found in Christ. So maybe today you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm not good enough to be able to be used by Christ as an agent of change. Well, Jesus Christ has the power in His name to wash you, to sanctify you, and to justify you. No matter what the sin is. Look, read there in verse 9 and verse 10. Jesus Christ has the ability to change your life and to prepare you to be an example and a testimony of what God can do in your world. And He has the power to clean you. I was just thinking right now about a verse that I can't ever remember learning until I began teaching it to kids in Awanas. And it's Titus 3, 5, and 6, where it talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Love that passage of Scripture. It was one that I learned teaching kids when they want us. And it's something that can show us that we can have new life in Christ. Let's turn back to 2 Kings chapter 2. Maybe you should have put a bookmark with it before we go running off. But we see the first thing that we saw is that we need to be clean. Elisha said, bring me a new bowl. And we need to find that new life in Christ. The second thing that he says here in 2 Kings chapter 2, he says, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. And so point number two I put up there is not only do we need to be a clean vessel, we need to put a little salt in it. We look at salt. A couple weeks, I'm going to be teaching chemistry. I like using this as an example. And almost every week, I'm going to be talking about sodium chloride. Gives you so many examples of how to teach chemistry. And it's an amazing chemical combination that just works so amazing in this world. It's no wonder that God used it as an example so many times in Scripture. Salt destroys bacteria, slows decay, and is necessary for all animal life. It's amazingly resilient. That's why one of the verses that we're going to look at kind of make you scratch your head a little bit when you begin to think about salt from the standpoint of somebody talking about chemistry, because it kind of baffles you. So let's take a look at salt and what Jesus Christ has to say about it in the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, and probably many of you guys know this verse. You've read it, you've heard it before. Very common one. But in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Salt, like I said just a minute before, a great preservative. If we didn't have a refrigerator sitting in our living room, we would all love salt. I love thinking about the fact that in some cultures and sometimes in history, salt could be traded ounce for ounce with gold. Isn't that kind of so just a shocking thing to think about? But the value of salt and the value of gold at times throughout human history, they've been able to be traded at an equal rate. And it's used as an additive, something to give flavor. Let's look at a synoptic verse, a verse about the same situation in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. In verse 34, says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I've thought about this, and I thought, salt is salt. And I was reading about this, and this is something I thought about before. Salt losing its flavor. The chemical bond between sodium and chlorine is an amazing one, if you think about it. It's not like other things. If you put it in water, we think about salt water. Water does not break apart salt. You leave salt around, it doesn't stop becoming salt. It's just not going to happen. And so I took a little bit of research into this, and we think about the salt mines. When they go mining into the salt, as they would go mining for the salt, there would be some things that were collected that were not salt, not true salt. And they didn't have the flavor. They did not have the additive and preservative qualities that were needed, and the concentration of the salt in what they were harvesting wasn't worth its weight in salt. And so and that's where the phrase came from, because it was as costly as gold. And they would take it and they would throw it on the ground, and it'd be what you walked on. And that's why in Matthew chapter 5, it says that it was thrown out and trampled underfoot. If you are a new vessel, and you are new in Christ, and you belong to Him, and you are His child, you are going to be an effective tool for God's kingdom. It's only when it's not true salt that it's worthless and cast out and to be trampled underfoot. Or, unless it has been corrupted by the outside world and things that are not pure salt. So you as a believer, living a new life in Christ, you need to be useful for the kingdom. And you need to stay clean and you need to stay pure. And that's very, very important. And if we're going to be an agent of change, we need to be clean. We need to put a little salt on it and be something that slows the decay of this world. It's a preservative. And we need to add a little bit of flavor, the good kind of flavor, God's kind of flavor to this world.
Amen.
As we continue looking here in 2 Kings chapter 2, I said we ought to put a bookmark there. We go back to 2 Kings chapter 2. It says, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death nor barrenness." The third thing that we need to do is, not only do we need to be a clean vessel, a new vessel, not only do we need to put a little salt in it and to be something that slows the decay of this world, that adds a little bit of flavor and preserves this world for and makes a difference for God's kingdom, we also need to speak with authority. Speak with authority. Elisha comes out and says, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water." We as Christians, we need to be clean, holy, pure, living new life in Christ. We need to be the salt of the earth, making a difference in this world. And finally, we need to speak with authority like Elisha did here. When he says, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water." We need to speak with the authority of God behind our lips. Let's look at a couple of verses. First one being John 10. Let's look at John 10 and verse 10. John 10, 10. In John 10, 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ has come to destroy the work of, Satan has come to destroy the work of God, to steal the hearts of men. But Jesus Christ came to undo the work of the devil and to give life and to give it more abundantly. Let's look in our Bibles and continue and look over in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Hebrews 2. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore, in all these things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." So as we see the world breaking down around us, and sometimes people will say, "God seems like he's so far off. He's so far out of reach." Jesus Christ came to live among us, to be a God that would experience this world as we do and live it and have victory over it without sin. And to die, to be a sacrifice. One of my favorite words is found here in this verse where it says propitiation. That sacrifice that satisfied the Father. If we are going to be an agent of change, not only do we need to be clean, we need to be new. We need to put a little salt in it to be the salt and light of the world. But also, we need to proclaim the word of the Lord and his power to change. We need to go up to people and tell them of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. How he's taken and saved you from sin and given you new life. And what he's done in your life as he's sanctifying you and making you more like his Son. Aren't you so glad that Jesus Christ came down to this world to heal you of your sin problem? Go and share that with someone else. The final passage of scripture I'd like to look at tonight in this speaking with authority is Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We read Exodus chapter 15, the last few verses there, in our responsive scripture reading a couple weeks ago, and I knew that this was coming. And I've always taken Exodus chapter 15 and I've opened it and shared this story. The story of Moses as he heads out into the wilderness, and they come to this place where the waters are bitter. It says in verse 23 of Exodus chapter 15, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it in the waters were made sweet." And I take people to this passage of Scripture when I see that they have a broken heart or bitterness in their life. And I share this story with them. And I take them to verse 26, in those last few words. "For I am the Lord who heals you." I am the Lord who heals you. And I think about God's healing power. And many times when we think about God's healing power, when we talk about God's healing power, we think about his power to maybe heal someone from a disease or from an accident that they have had and they're laying in a hospital. Or maybe a heart attack. Or something terrible like that. But we need to remember that part of being Jesus Christ being the Lord that heals is that He heals bitterness. In 2 Kings chapter 2, there was death in that water. When Elisha healed it, he says, "Now there is no more death in it. The wages of sin is death." And sin is at the source of death and ruin and destruction in this world. We look at Exodus chapter 15. We look at 2 Kings chapter 2. We look at the life of Jesus Christ. And we see that we have a God that heals. He heals physically. He heals spiritually. Emotionally. He's here to heal a broken heart. And a lost heart. And I don't know what it is that God has laid on your heart for Him to heal. I don't know what you're sitting there and thinking about tonight. What needs healing? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the most important thing that you have to heal through Jesus Christ is your relationship with God the Father. Or maybe you're here tonight and you need emotional healing. You're in the middle of a spiritual battle. And bitterness has got this to be a broken heart. You have a God that wants to heal that. Maybe as you look around in your family, you see brokenness and sin just eating away and ruining the life of someone that you love desperately. And God has allowed you to be a thermometer in this situation. You can see that something is wrong. Maybe God's calling you tonight to be a thermostat. To first be clean the way God wants you to be clean. Live new life in Christ. And where you can, throw a little bit of salt on it. Be the salt of the world. And finally, speak with authority about the healing power of Jesus Christ who came to change this world and to change the lives of individuals. Be an agent of change. We don't need a church full of broken thermostats. Last year during vacation Bible school, I found out what a broken thermostat does. Boils all the fish. We need people who are going to be agents of change, like in Exodus 15 and 2 Kings chapter 2, to find the bitter waters that lead to death, and to find a God who heals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for these people who have come out tonight. Lord, we need to be an agent of change. We need to look in the world around us and see how we can be a vessel used by You, a new life in Christ. We need to put a little salt in it to live a life. And then we need to speak with authority of Your power to change. Lord, I pray for the people that are here. And I pray that if there's someone here, they have a broken heart, a broken spirit. Maybe they are in need of a new relationship with You. They don't know what these kids experienced tonight and in their lives as they accepted You as their personal Savior and are growing in You. But they want to know what it means to know You as their personal Savior and find out what that new life in Christ is all about. I pray that tonight might make a big difference in their life. Help us live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymnals this evening and turn to number 611. Number 611, and we'll sing the first verse of He Hideth My Soul. Let's stand up and sing He Hideth My Soul. Bless our time of fellowship now. Thank you for the hands that prepared and provided the food that we are going to have. Thank you so much for our baptismal service this evening. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.